So we are thinking about prayer, and the sermon will have three parts this morning. First of all, about prayer and what it means to pray, and then we're going to have a little how-to section, a little tutorial coaching you on how to pray, and then we're going to finish by singing together the Lord's Prayer, and Bernard's actually going to teach us the version of that we sing in church is lovely, but is not easy to sing, and so it's helpful once a year or so to have us have a little lesson on how to sing that. So those are the parts of the sermon this morning, and I want to start with another prayer that really rings true for me so often. So here is another opening prayer for the day. Dear Lord, so far today I'm doing all right. I have not gossiped, lost my temper, been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or self-indulgent. I have not whined, complained, cursed, or eaten any chocolate. I have charged nothing on my credit cards. But I will be getting out of bed in a minute, and I think that I will really need your help then. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. That's a prayer we should pray every day, actually. So I hear questions from people all the time about prayer, from all sorts of angles. It is something I know that you all think about, wonder about, and are eager to know more about. So I guess I want to just start with the basics. At a basic level, prayer is talking to God. I think it is really that simple. Prayer is talking to God. Then it can get a little fuzzy when we ask, well, what is our talking to God? Because there are lots of ways that we can speak to God. There certainly are the prayers that we pray together in church, but also music. Music is a huge way for so many, not just us as a congregation when we sing or when we hear the choir, but I know in people's personal lives that music is a way of expressing and speaking to God. There's also silence. So how is silence prayer? I think silence is prayer when our silence is directed to God. And I think you know what I mean. I think you know there's a difference between being silent when you're just, we're silent, and then there's silence that is directed to God. We offer silent prayer in church every week, and that might be a time when you're saying things in your head to God, but it might also just be a time when you clear your head, because silence is also when God can speak to us. We'll get to that in a minute. It says in the Bible that the Holy Spirit will come and pray for us with sighs too deep for words. So sometimes just, again, direct it to God. That's a prayer. So there are more ways of praying than simply out loud words that we read or that we hear from somebody else. I think for whatever we're doing, in order for it to be prayer, it's something that's directed to God. I'm not quite sure what to make of all the things I read in my Facebook feed when people offer thoughts and prayers coming your way. I sometimes will hear that when folks will share of a need or ask for prayers, that the response is sending you prayers. I don't know about that. I think the intention, I don't think we pray to each other. I don't say, Bernard, I'm sending you my prayers. I mean, you might pray for me if I sent you my prayers. I'm sure you would. But I think what I would mean is that I'm praying for you to God. I think the directionality to keep is important, that it's not just a human endeavor where we wish each other well. We can also wish each other well and encourage each other. But prayer, God desires for us to be directed towards Him. And so I would encourage you when you write your little notes to each other on your social media to find ways to say it in ways that direct it to God. I think that's a way for us to make a witness that is unique and not just thoughts are with you, prayers are with you. So I encourage you to find a new way to do that. Some say that prayer is actually more about the one who is praying than it is about God. Soren Kierkegaard, a theologian and philosopher, said, "Prayer does not change God, it changes the prayer." And that's what's most important. I think he's half right. I think prayer does indeed change us, but I disagree that prayer does not change God. There are a number of times in the Bible when we read about God changing his mind because people prayed to him. So when we get the printed version of the sermon online, you'll have all those scripture references in there. But we do know that God can change his mind because of prayers. Oh, how that works, but we know of the witness of that. God can be changed. It's hard in our own daily lives to know if and when God has changed his mind or if he's doing something differently. There are plenty of ways that we can change ourselves, but we don't need prayer to do that. Meditation is a way to change our own hearts. Simple positive thinking, I know there's a lot out there about positive mindsets, that's a way for us ourselves to be changed. Changing our habits changes our minds and our hearts, actually. But those are not prayer. I think prayer has to be more than just what we do with our own interior life, that prayer does have an effect on God as well as, yes, on ourselves. The purpose and the object of our prayer life cannot only be ourselves and our own circumstances. So I want to be really clear here. I do really believe that we should pray for ourselves and the things in our lives, and we should bring our whole lives into God, but our prayer lives should be more than that. More than that. Then there's the side of the conversation with God where God would talk to us, because prayer isn't just a monologue, it is a dialogue. God does respond. We heard in scripture today how God will answer the prayers, and so we do know that God speaks to us. And here we start getting into more of the gray areas around praying. This is a little tricky because each person will interpret how God speaks to them and reveals to them differently. We all know that Jesus has revealed himself on the face of toast, right? You've seen those pictures on the internet. God appeared in my toaster, right? Or the cloud formations, or I don't know, God reveals himself in all sorts of ways. So how do we know? How do we know that that's really God? How do we hear God's voice? It's really tricky. I don't have just a big old easy answer on that. We need to wrestle with that one. In preparing for this sermon this morning, one of you asked me this question. If good things equal prayers being answered, does that mean that bad things equals prayers not being answered, which implies that God is not caring or not listening? Wow. Well, I think that question alone is an entire 20-minute sermon. In fact, there are whole books that have been written on that question. But we'll do a few paragraphs on it here as best I can. That statement makes an assumption first, which is that good things that happen to us actually are prayers being answered. Think about it. That's an assumption. And then, as the question asks, is that also, then do we assume that automatically, if this thing is true, that its exact opposite then is therefore automatically true? So those are some assumptions that go into that. You know, good things happen, and bad things happen for a whole host of reasons, many of which have nothing to do with prayer. Sometimes stuff just happens, both good and bad, by accident or by circumstance. There are a lot of ways that things happen. But if the question is about God's involvement as a result of prayer, and I think that is the question, I don't think it's simple anymore. There may be times when God answering a prayer is super obvious. I prayed for this and this thing happened. But I've heard and I believe that God has more answers to our prayers than, yes, here you go, everything is great, all caps. And then the other answer that God has is, all caps, I'm ignoring you and I don't care. Okay, those are not just our two choices for how God responds to us. Everything's great and nope, I'm not caring. There's got to be more to God than those answers. Sometimes I believe God says, not yet. Sometimes God says a sympathetic and a gentle no. Sometimes we are praying for the wrong thing and we don't even know that we're praying for the wrong thing. I can go back to my college years, my teenage, early 20s, when I was praying for relationships with particular people, and God would say no. And I thought God was so far from me because he was not causing that boy to ask me on a date. When in fact, God was saying no, no, no. So sometimes it's a gentle and a loving no. I think this question, though, has as its backdrop a different question about the nature of God and our inability to fully know the mind and intentions of God in our daily lives. Why does he seem to be at work over here, but not over there? It does seem easy for us to ascribe to God the good things that happen in our lives and then to be unsure of God when things go awry. But you know, the things that God promises are not so much the specific things that go right in our lives, but more along the lines of God promises peace. God promises his presence. God promises comfort and forgiveness and salvation and new life. These are the things that God has promised to us. And these are things that are provided to us and for us, even when things don't go the way we want them. So I've prayed for my friend to be cured of her disease. And that doesn't happen. Does that mean God is ignoring my prayer? Or does it mean that God is saying, you know what, Gail, she's going to die. So I am with you, with you, with you. I am with her, with her, with her. I am with you. Maybe that's the answer. All this has to do with prayer because when we understand God in this more expansive way, rather than as someone who grants wishes, even if they are noble and beautiful wishes, our prayer life actually will change. And yes, then we will be changed as well. But this is not the goal of prayer. It's the result of prayer. Kenneth Samuel, UCC pastor, says this. This is so excellent. He writes, "The reason why prayer is so vital to the Christian life is not so much because it invites us to tell God what we think we want, but it helps us to align what we think we want with what God wills for us. And since the whole impetus to pray is based on the belief that God is good and that God desires what is best for each one of us, prayer becomes not just an exercise in petitioning God, but an exercise in discernment." What he means by that is learning to pray for what God desires for us, aligning our will and our desires with God's will. There's so much more that could be said about prayer. This may need to be a series some day, but I want to make sure that we get time on how to pray. How can we pray and how do we pray? First, it's important to know that each of you will pray differently. You certainly can learn to pray in a new way, and like anything, it will take practice. But each of your habits and gifts around prayer are different. Some of you spend time quietly reading the Bible. You're able to carve out some time in your day, and you pray then during that time. Some of you pray without ceasing, as the Apostle Paul suggests, by offering up ongoing petitions and concerns all day long throughout the day, wherever you're going. Some of you pray memorized prayers before meals or before bedtime. Some of you make it up as you go, as you pray out loud or pray in your hearts. No one has the corner on prayer, and especially me. I am not the expert prayer in the church. A story about something that happened in a previous church I served. We had a committee meeting one night. I stayed through. I didn't go home for dinner. I was in my office. It had been a really long, tiring day, and I saw the clock was getting closer and closer and closer to 7:30, and I was tired, and I had a lot to do, and the committee was full of really super competent people, and I said to myself, I can't go at 7:30. I just need some time. I'm just going to go late. I'm going to go 20 minutes late. So I just stayed in my office. I don't remember what I did, if I got a few more things done or if I just sat and relaxed. And then, 20 minutes late, I left my office, walked to the church, and went down to the room they were meeting. And when I got there, they were all just chit-chatty. And then someone turned to me and said, "Oh, good, Gail's here. Now we can pray, and then we can start." I thought, no. You can pray, and you can start. I am not the only one who can pray or should pray. So here are some tricks of the trade so that you can be more comfortable and confident praying. But you may have your own tricks. So if you have your own, I would be eager to hear them, because I sometimes get in a rut. Here are two tricks. One has four parts, the other has five. Though the five-part one is really a three-part one. Here's the four-part one. Stay with me. I got my four fingers up. Anne Lamott wrote a book in 2012 called Help, Thanks, Wow. That's 1, 2, 3. I add oops. Help, thanks, wow, oops. There's your formula. That's how you pray. Help, that's when you ask God for whatever you need, whatever somebody else needs. Help, say what you need. Thanks, always thank God. Thank you, God, for fill in the blank. So help, thanks, wow. That is saying, God, you are amazing. That's when we actually tell God who he is. We say, God, you are great. God, you are the creator. God, you know everything. God, you love us. God, you care for the world. God, so that's wow. Wow, God. And then oops is, ooh, God, I need your forgiveness. I made a mistake today. So help, thanks, wow, and oops. There's your little formula if you want to know how to pray. So that's the four-part one. The five-part one, really a three-part one, is this. This is as old as the hills. Comes from like the 3rd or 4th century. The five parts are, so the first one is simple, is who are you talking to? God. So there's one. See, that's why your one is gone. Dear God. That's number one. Number two, this is the wow one. God, you are. So tell God a little bit about who he is in ways that are meaningful for you. So, dear God, you are loving. Number three is ask for what you need. Ask for. That's the petition. That's the word for that. And then number four, and three and four really go together. So what you say is, dear God, thank you are so loving. Please, healing. We often pray for healing. Please heal my grandma. Then you have to say, so that. Now, if you say so that to connect numbers 3 and 4, that's going to change what you're asking for. Because try it out. So, dear God, please give me that new car so that I have this excellent new car. That's not aligning my will with God's. If you ask for something and then you have to say so that, you have to go deeper into your request. Why am I asking for healing? Why am I asking for a job? Why am I? These are really great ways for you to connect what you need with God's will. Yes, pray for yourself in these ways and then discover why. So, dear God, you are great. Give me this. Help me with this. In order that, so that. And then number five is simply the closing. Get out of the prayer. Amen. Okay, so that's why I'm saying the five-part one is really a three-part one. So there's your formula. So you can use that formula for any kind of prayer that you might have to pray. So you could use that prayer, you could use that formula before a committee meeting. You could use it when you're saying grace. You could use it before you're going on a trip and traveling. You could use it when you're sitting with somebody who is sick or ill or dying. You can use that same five-part prayer. And you could make them super long. You could make whole paragraphs out of each of those, or you could make it into like two sentences. So here's some advice on praying in public, out loud and in public. Try to stay focused on what you're praying for. If you're praying before a meal, pray for the food. I can't tell you how many times I hear a prayer for the meal and says nothing about the food. Just the way to simplify it, just pray, think first what you're praying for. If you're praying for the food, pray for the food. If you're praying before you're traveling, pray for that. So that's a way to focus what you're saying. Try not to say the word and. If you're praying and then you say and, now you have to say something else. And we say and sometimes when we're nervous, and then we get stuck because then we have to keep praying. So just don't say and, just finish. And then the last one is so simple. If you don't know what to say next, finish the prayer. Just say amen. You don't have to say more and more and more. Your prayers can be simple, can be heartfelt, can be just to the point. So if you're a beginner prayer for praying out loud, try those ways of simplifying it. And then I think you'll find that you'll be able to pray more fully as you go. So we're going to sing. Augustine said, those who sing pray twice. So a bunch of us in the church went to see a movie Friday night where that notion rang so true. There's a church in Australia called the Hillsong Church who have become most known for their music and band that tours and travels. They actually have three touring bands. And they made a documentary. Someone made a documentary about their prayer life, about the band and how it serves the ministry of the church. I think everyone in this church has to go see this movie. It is so inspiring. You will find ways of connecting it to our church. It's not a church in our tradition at all, but you will find ways to connect it. So it's at Solomon Pond right now. It's also out in Fitchburg. I don't know how long it will be running, but it's called Hillsong. Just Hillsong, Google that, and you'll find it. Please go see this movie. If you want me to go with you, I'm happy to go again. Let me know when you're going. I'll see if I can.